recorded live.
We are looking at Matthew 25. We are in our books, in your book. We are looking at accepting the challenge, which is the second portion of prophetic development 3. We are talking tonight about accepting the challenge and facing the risks. And we really don't want to hear nothing about no risk, right?
No.
You know? But that is what we're going to be talking about. Amen. So if someone would please, let's go to Matthew 25. And we are going to begin at verse 24 and 25. And if someone would please read that those two verses so that we can get going here. Mm-hmm. Matthew 25, verses 24 and 25.
Then Jesus, having received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I know thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strowed. I was afraid, and I hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that is thine.
Okay, something is wrong with your phone. Your phone sounds a little muffled.
Okay.
Is your battery low?
No, let me switch it out. I got the earpiece in. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, it sounds a little muffled. All right, verse 24 says, Then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Well, he knew he was in trouble already. Look at what he said. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. Can you imagine that?
Yes.
Lord Jesus. He already knew what he was dealing with when he buried the talent. And we already know this parable of the talent. Amen. And in this particular section here, we were talking last week about, being in the place where, you're in boot camp. We're learning, amen, how to deal with bitterness. We're learning how to deal with discouragement, learning how to sit under a tutor and sit under a governor, learning how to have somebody to train our character. And lay down the law for us and to develop the character that God has already given us. We talked about that, being equipped, and then we move into now that you understand that this is something that you need, now we want to talk about accepting the challenge, which is really a difficult thing for us because we don't like a challenge sometimes. Sometimes we like a challenge so long as it's just, not too God-awful and difficult, and that's the thing that is really hard for us. What is a challenge? A challenge comes to prove your identity. A challenge comes to bring disputes. It's like a dare. It's a challenge. When you are challenged by something, there is somebody coming to, they're giving you an invitation to compete against them. Okay? And then in this case, we are accepting the challenge. We're accepting the invitation to compete against the enemy. We are accepting the challenge that is laid before us. The combat, the fight that is before us, which is this fight of faith. You cannot walk with God unless you understand that walking with God is indeed a challenge. Because everything that you believe in, you're going to have to forget all the things that you think you know and all that you feel like you believe, because you got to know what God's word says And then once you get that word in you, the enemy is going to come to try to dispute the word that's in you. He don't care about our opinions. He don't care about our degrees. He don't care about how wonderful we are and who's in love with us. The only thing he cares about is disputing against that word that we have received from God. And if we can stand that, amen, without falling apart, and I believe that we're going to begin to see the things that God has spoken over us begin to manifest in our life. For too long we have, we know that God has spoken words and we receive prophecies, we receive the words of the Lord, but it seems like it takes forever for these things to come to pass. And so that becomes a challenge for us because then we have to deal with time. We have to deal with the fact that God does not do everything overnight. We wish he did. It would be nice if he did. Boy, oh boy, would that make my day. You know, but time seems to be a challenge for us. People need, you know, seem to be a challenge for us. There are different things that we face, you know, in our walk with God that present challenges to us. And we have to be willing to accept these challenges. Amen. Not fighting against what God is doing in us, but accepting the challenge. If you accept the challenge, that means you agree to deal with the battle or the combat that's coming your way. You willingly receive the idea that I got to fight for this. Okay, once you understand who you are in Christ, once you understand that God has, he has sovereignly placed you where you are in the middle of all that you are dealing with, in this time that you're having to deal with it for however long he says you have to deal with it, when you understand that and you accept that and you begin to agree with the will of God and agree with the challenges that face you, then we can start talking about what is going on in the verses that we just read. In verses 24 and 25, we see that this particular servant could not, he had a hard time accepting the challenge that was presented to him. What was the challenge? He was given a talent. He was given a talent, and all he had to do was increase what his master had already given him. He didn't have to go and create a talent. He didn't have to come and think, you know, go and think of nothing wonderful. All he had to do was increase what had already been given to him, and that presented a problem for him. Verse 24 says, and he which had received the one talent, he didn't have 50 things he had to do. He had one thing. And if you don't write nothing else down, write this down. You need to do one thing and do it well. This servant was given one talent. He came to his Lord and he said, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man. He said he knew his master. But evidently he didn't. Because if he really knew his master, he would have thought about the fact that his master was requiring him to go and make something out of what had been given to him. And that comes, you know, that presents a question for us. We have to ask ourselves the question, do we really know God? Do we really know what God has charged us with? Do we really understand the responsibilities that have been placed in our hands? You know, another word for this talent is just responsibility. And we have to understand that the gifts and the talents that God has given us, you know, they're not for us to shine, but they're for God to get the glory out of our life. So here he is, he's saying how much he knew his master. Amen. And he says, I know that you reap where you have not sown, and you gather where you have not strawed, but I had a problem. And my problem is in verse 25. He says, I was afraid. And this is something that we got to come to terms with, y'all. I know that we all deal with this. When God, I mean, we hear the word of the Lord, we get excited about the things that the Lord speaks over us, and then as soon as we begin to see the things of God that, you know, he's spoken over us, he's placing these things in our hand, we start tripping and we get scared because we don't know how to handle what God has given us. He said, I was afraid. He dealt with the spirit of fear. Amen. He dealt with the spirit of fear. What is fear? Fear means to be afraid of, to be apprehensive. To, you know, it's an emotion that causes anxiety. He had an expectation or an awareness of danger. He was afraid of something. He felt like something wasn't going to go right. Maybe if I try to take this thing that God has given me, I might not do the right thing with it. And so that fear kept him from doing anything. How many times have God placed something in our hand and we didn't do anything with what he has given us? Everybody else around us is working. And all God is saying, I gave you that one thing that I made you responsible for. Could you not accept that challenge? Can you, prophets of God, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, can you accept the challenge that God has laid before you? This servant had a problem that he could not deal with, and his problem was fear. Fear made him shrink back from his responsibility. And what you have to remember is that you are responsible for the gifts that God has given you. You are responsible for the talents. You are responsible for the things that God has charged to your hand. And not only are you responsible for them, but you got to give an account to God for them. Here we see this servant giving an account to his master for the lack of use, you know, the lack of good stewardship over what had been placed in his hand. What excuses are we really going to have when we stand before the Lord about why or why we didn't do what he told us to do? What excuses are we going to have? What reasons? Well, Lord, it was because of my husband. Well, Lord, you know, Sister So-and-so at church, she really gave me a hard time, and I just really had a hard time dealing with her rolling her eyes at me, and so I didn't want to have to deal with that, so I said, forget it. Lord, you know, I really didn't want to have to be bothered with people talking about me. Talking about accepting the challenge. And you got to understand that what you believe is going to be challenged. What you know is going to be challenged. Amen. A challenge is a summons to a duel. It's a summons to a fight. It's an invitation to compete in a sport. It's a time of being called into question. Here, this servant was being called into question. I gave you a responsibility. Why couldn't you do what I told you to do with this thing that I have given you? What has God given to you to do? Have you been called? Has God called you into question about your gifts and your talents? Is he commanding you to prove your identity? To prove that you are who you say you are, that you are walking upright before him as you say you are, that you love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. It's what we say. But can we really do this? And if we're going to accept the challenge, the first thing we have to do is we got to be willing to accept responsibility. We have to be willing. Is not going to just give you stuff, you know, and then just say, okay, well, you got it, all right, you're fine. God is looking for us to be responsible. He is looking for us, amen, to be willing to be accountable for what he's given us, to answer for it, amen, to be a good steward over what he has given us, amen. I want to look at 1 Peter. So look at number two, that authority comes with responsibility. God is not just giving you a task and not going to give you the authority that's necessary to carry out the task. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. My pages from book. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Authority comes with responsibility. When God gives you responsibility, he gives you the authority to carry it out. When God places something in your hand, when God anoints you for this place that he's called you to, amen, and he's given you the responsibility to preach the word, to teach the word, to train his people, to prophesy, to bring words of exhortation and encouragement to the body of Christ. When God does this, he gives you the authority that is necessary to carry it out. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, they feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now see, here is Peter laying down the law here. He is exhorting the people of God, along with the elders. He's giving this charge to the church, and he's telling them, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to walk in the authority that I've given you and that God has given you, and I want you to discharge your duty. Your duty is to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because somebody's twisting your arm and making you do it, but do it willingly. That means nobody should have to twist your arm and make you do it. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So all of us, you know, who know these folks that's out here charging these, you know, ridiculous honorariums for people to come to their church and preach, that is outrageous. They are not following the scripture. Why am I dealing with that? Because that is part of accepting the challenge. Because if God gives you a message, you got to be willing to go wherever the door may open, and you may have to pay your own way there and pay your own way back.
Amen.
Amen. This is not about making money, amen. This is about feeding the people of God. Amen. Verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Amen. God is not looking for us to be tyrants. He's not looking for us to be control freaks. He's not looking for us to be taskmasters. All he's saying is, just be an example. Be an example. If we work as hard as we, you know, at living a godly life and at being an example, then the people of God will follow us. If we work hard at that, we got to work hard at that. You know, the Bible says, like priests, like people. But we don't want people to follow us and you know, we don't have our stuff together. We got to be an example. God is not looking for us to act like a bunch of crazy folks because we got a little bit of authority. Amen. Amen. Authority is, amen, a person in command, a person who is a convincing force. Amen. The force that you use is more of convincing people, letting them being able to see the anointing that's on your life, and they follow because of the anointing that's on your life, not because you say, you're going to do this because I said you better do it. And I'm the pastor, so you do what I say. Amen. We don't have time for that. Amen. The next thing is that responsibility is learned. Responsibility is learned. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Y'all hanging in there tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. James chapter 1. Amen. Looking at verse 21 and 22. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Amen. Responsibility is learned. Amen. James is teaching, number one, in this verse by telling them, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Be a doer. You got to learn how to take on responsibility. Even as a child, we watch our parents. We see the things that they do, and we model their behavior. When we become adults, we copy what our parents have shown us through the life that they have lived. Amen, somebody. We model that behavior. We copy what they have done. We repeat the life and the things that we have seen growing up. We repeat it when we become adults. And so if we are going to be responsible, then we have got to be under leaders that are responsible. And if we're going to have people who follow us that are responsible, then we ourselves as leaders have to model a life of responsibility. We can't just be all over the place. Responsibility is learned, just like irresponsibility is learned. If we don't learn properly, there's a chance that we won't handle things correctly. Amen. And so we got to learn how to watch our spiritual parents and how they handle certain circumstances and situations, and let that be a learning and a teaching for us, so that when we see these things, that their life is teaching us how to do the things that we need to do. Now, some things, amen, are going to be learned by them saying, listen, you should do this, this, and this. Or, you know, you may ask a question about a specific thing, and then they'll give you an answer or whatever the case may be. But for the most part, we learn mostly by what we see, because a lot of us are visual learners.
Amen.
A lot of us, amen, we'll learn faster by watching somebody than we do by picking up something and reading it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And you know, and even in the world, we know that that's the way it is in the world, because, you know, the world says monkey see, monkey do. You know, so we copy, we have the tendency to be, you know, we copy what we see. And this is why Paul was saying, be ye imitators, amen, imitators of me as I'm following Jesus. Follow me as I follow Christ. When you see what I'm doing, amen, and following Christ, follow me. Do what you see me doing. Not just do as I say, don't do as I do. No, do as I say and do as I do. And we all really say that. I want you to do as I say, and I want you to do as I am doing. This is what Paul was saying to the people. And we have to learn how to be examples that we want somebody to do as we say and as we do. We want to be godly examples so that, amen, when people look at us, amen, that we can really truly be living epistles read among men. What does that mean? We already know. Some people will never pick up a Bible, but they can look at our lifestyle. And it's just like picking up the pages, amen, of the Word of God, because they see a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, amen, a life, amen, that is separated for God to use for His glory. And so this is what we have to begin to model, amen. We got to begin to follow Christ and learn responsibility, amen, from our mothers and fathers in the spirit, amen, and begin to follow their example of righteousness. Hallelujah. The next thing is responsiveness to God's voice is not optional. It's mandatory. You can't choose, well, I want to follow this God, but I don't want to follow that. Ooh. I'll obey you about this, but I don't know about that other stuff. Selective obedience. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, but verse 7. It says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, and I love this verse, because a lot of times you have people, they just go ahead and just want to say, well, you know, the Bible says, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Uh-uh. That's not what it says. You need the whole verse. It says, first, submit yourselves to God. The devil ain't fleeing from you if you ain't submitted. Amen.
Amen.
There's a process. There's a process to power. You want power? Submit. You want authority? Submit. You want the devil to be subject to you? Submit. That's a challenge. Amen. I was doing the armor bearers class on Wednesday night, and I was, you know, telling the armor bearers, you know, when we start talking about we are obedient, we are submissive, we got to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, do I grumble underneath my breath when my leader tells me to do something? Do I walk away really wanting to come back and, you know, give you peace of my mind? How much are we really willing to submit without asking questions? Come on now, we know that's a challenge.
Yes. Amen.
We know that's a hard thing. What you mean? I'm grown, you grown. Well, what's the problem? You know? You know, and so we got to be honest about that. We got to submit to God. Amen. And submission, amen, is not always, it don't always feel good when you have to submit. Amen. It's not. It doesn't always feel good.
True.
Because sometimes we could be right. You got to be committed. You got to commit to, you know, when you talk about being submitted, that means to commit to the discretion or the decision of somebody else. Not yours, somebody else's. That means you surrender. You yield. You give up. Now, you know, we tell the Lord all the time, God, I surrender all except this. Tell the Lord we surrender. We take our hands off of stuff, then we put off our fingers back on it. And then we don't understand how come we're not experiencing deliverance in our lives. And it's because, you know what I'm saying, we have to obey God when we hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And what? A stranger, they will not follow. Not even if that stranger is my own will. I can't follow my will over God.
Oh, my.
I can't follow my own emotions over God.
Yeah.
I can't follow, amen, the opinions of others over God. Because I'm submitted. I have given myself over. I've been committed to the discretion or the decision that God makes and not myself. I have yielded myself to his decision. Whatever you say, God, I'm in agreement. And this is the challenge we have to accept. Can you accept this challenge? To really, really say yes to the Lord and take your hands off. To really, really give yourself over to God's discretion and his decisions that he makes for our life. That means us not being in control. Ooh, that's a cuss.
Wow.
That's a cuss word.
Wow.
What you mean? God don't mind me helping him. You need my help. You know? So we got to be honest. We got to be honest. Amen. The next thing about our responsibility, let's look at Esther chapter 4. Responsibility takes courage. You got to be courageous when you're following God. You got to be courageous when you're doing what God told you to do. Amen. It takes courage. Amen. Because remember, we just talked about that spirit of fear, of being apprehensive.
Yes.
How many times has God spoken to us and we apprehensive? Well, Lord, if you just confirm it one more time, it'll be all right. I just need one more confirmation. Just one confirmation. And then he'll give us that one confirmation. Okay, God, I know I said this one, but Lord, just let, you know, we start praying fleeces. Lord, if this is your will, let the sun stay up an extra hour today. You know, let it rain on my side of the street, but don't rain on the other side. If this is really you. We gotta learn how to trust God, amen, and be courageous even without a fleece. Amen. Courage is bravery. It is the ability to conquer fear. Now, in the beginning, we saw that in Matthew, and fear comes when we have been given a challenge. But you got to be courageous, because courage will give you the ability to conquer your fear. You got to conquer it. You got to be able to look fear in the face and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Knowing that it's not us anyway, it is God that has given us the strength. It is God that has given us the ability to fulfill his will. And I think that's part of the reason why we get scared. That's part of the reason why we become so apprehensive when it comes to doing the things of God, because we start thinking about, well, Lord, you know, my own abilities. Ooh, Jesus. You know, I really, you know, God, you know I stutter. You know, Lord, when I get nervous, I kind of bumble over my words, you know. You know, I don't know, you know, and then I can't deal with people, you know. What if they look like they're not interested in what I'm saying? You know, so we find all kind of excuses, you know, and we start going through all these reasons why we can't allow God to use us. Accept the challenge. Accept the challenge. You've got to. Be courageous. Conquer fear. For the glory of God. And let me tell you something. Everything we do, the enemy is going to try to send fear, to try to stop you and to try to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. If we could do it on our own, the Lord would never have sent the Holy Ghost to be able to come and live on the inside of us to give us the strength that we need to fulfill the call of God. We can't do it on our own. We need the grace of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's look, amen, at Esther chapter 4, verse 16. Here is Esther. We know the story, amen. She's in the palace. She's not supposed to go before the king. But her people are in trouble. And she had to do something to conquer her fear, because it was very likely that she could be killed for what she was about to do. So she had to make a decision. Either I can be afraid, because I know that whatever, if I go before the king, it's going to cost me my life, or I can be courageous and do whatever I got to do so that the will of God can be done for on the behalf of my people. Amen. Verse 16 says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Lord Jesus, I was listening to a song by Mercy Me today, and just listening to the words. And he was talking about in the song, I can't remember the name of the song, I think it's I Would Die For You. I think that's the name of it. And he was talking about how you never know, you know, because we're always looking for our purpose. You know, when we before we get saved, you know, it's that question, why am I here? And so he's singing in the song, and he's singing about, you know, how he wondered in his mind what he was to live for. And he didn't realize what he was to live for until he realized what he was willing to die for. And he began to say that the thing that he just, you know, he wanted to be able to give his life for was for God. Those are some strong words. Do we really know what we're living for? Do we really feel like we have something that we're willing to die for? I love you, Lord, but I don't know about all that dying stuff. Come on. accepting the challenge. Gotta accept the challenge. And all of our challenges are different. You know, what may be a challenge for you may not be a challenge for me. What might be a challenge for me may not be a challenge for you. But you have to be willing. Each of us have to equally be willing to accept whatever challenge God allows to come our way, because it is all for the glory of God. Because he is trying to cause us to know that, amen, we can be courageous. We can conquer fear. We can do what God has called us to do. Amen. We can get rid of fear. We don't have to walk in the spirit of fear. Amen. We can rise, amen, to the occasion, amen, and be good stewards over the responsibilities and the talents and the gifts that God has placed in our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. The next thing, amen, is responsibility has reward. God is not telling us work like an old dog and then, you know, you just get nothing. But, you know, you'll be glad you did something, but that's about it. Amen. He said there's a reward. Amen. And I left in your books is Philippians 2, 5 through 11. But before we read that, I want to go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And I want to read verse 12. Verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man, everybody, not just those, you know, I'm having favorites." Amen. He said, "But to give every man according as his work shall be." Amen. The Lord, amen, is going to reward us for walking, amen, and being responsible for what he has placed in our hands. We got to be responsible. We can't just want the Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, and we're not, amen, being faithful. We got to be faithful over what's been placed in our hands.
Yeah.
Amen. And when you read, amen, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Every one of us. Every one of us, God is going to cause us to give an account for what we have done with what he's placed in our hand. Even as that steward had to stand before his master and give an account for what he did and what he didn't do with that talent that was placed in his hand. If you know God, then you know what he wants you to do with what he's placed in your hand.
Amen.
That steward said, "Well, I knew you. I knew you, you know, Lord, and I knew that you were a hard man. I knew that you, you know, you reap where you didn't even sow. So I was afraid and I put my talent in the ground." What are you hiding that God has given you? Who did you allow to intimidate you and trick you into not obeying what God has given you? And who talked you out of accepting the challenge that God has placed before you? You know, and I know that that's a hard thing. Accepting a challenge and doing ministry is a risky business. It's a risky thing. Because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what to expect. I mean, I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Because I want to just, you know, I want to talk about a few of the risks that you have to face. You have to face them. There's nothing... You know, I'm not going to tell you, come on now, you know, the Lord is going to bless you. Yes, he is going to bless you. You know, once you know, you begin walking in the things of God, it's just a bed of roses, and it's just wonderful, and you just, you know, every day is just so great, and you don't have no heartaches, and, you know, you fall in love with people, and everybody treats you nice, and everything goes according to the plans and the visions that you have. They don't. It just doesn't happen that way. It just does not happen that way always. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And it says, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And I want you to accept this, you know, as your charge for ministry, you know. And I know some of us, you know, we got things going on in our mind because we're thinking about the new year. But technically, we are already in the new year according to the Jewish calendar. You know, that's a whole other lesson, so I don't want to go off into that. But really, God has already set the things in motion for the new year already. It has already been predetermined. He's already, you know, set it in motion, the things that we're going to face and the things that we're going to have to deal with. All that stuff has already been planned out. And I want you to understand it. I don't care what it is that you got to face in the next 360-some-odd days or 370-something days, because I know we still got a lot of time left in 2007. But I want you to understand that verse 8 says, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. As long as God is going before you, you can face whatever challenges that come your way. You can deal with whatever the circumstances are. Amen. Understanding what it is to be, amen, to deal with a risk. Amen. A risk is exposure to possible loss or injury, danger or peril. So you may have to face being exposed. You may have to face possible loss, possible injury. You know, your feelings might get hurt. Your pride might be hurt. You know, you may lose some friends along the way. You may lose some things that you hold dear. But you got to understand that it is the Lord that is going before you. And he will be with you. And he will not fail you. I don't care who gave up on you. I don't care who didn't, you know, keep their word. I don't care whatever it is that you have already faced. God will not fail you, and neither will he forsake you. And here he's commanding Moses, fear not. Don't be apprehensive. Don't be anxious. Don't expect, you know, don't be so consumed with expecting danger and expecting harm that you can't do what God has called you to do. There's several risks that we face when we start talking about doing ministry for the Lord. One of the things is failure. Amen. Sometimes things don't always pan out. And that's one of the things, amen, especially those that are called to apostolic ministry, amen, loss and failure, amen. And I don't like to use the word failure because I should have wrote failing. Because, you know, you can fail at something and it doesn't mean that you are a failure. There's a difference. So, you know, really the idea here is that, especially those in apostolic ministry, there is a failing, a loss that has to be experienced. Is a lot of times it feels like you're just spinning your wheels. It feels like, okay, God, I'm watching these ungodly folks and they seem to just be prospering, and why is it taking so long for you to do what you said you were going to do in my life? Why is it that it seems like it's taking forever? The other risk is getting involved. Amen. Number two is involvement, being involved in people's lives. You always run the risk of probably, you know, getting your feelings hurt, pouring into people's lives who may not necessarily receive what you're saying. Amen. So you got to understand that there are times when you're going to have to learn to give of yourself. Amen. Sometimes you don't know what we're going to face. We may risk our lives. We may end up having to do that. You may have to risk reputation. Learn about what other people think of you. Sometimes people may think less of you because of the fact that you're doing what God told you to do. And then you may have to risk position when you're talking about obeying God. And, you know, especially some of us called to prophetic ministry, there may be times where the Lord will give you a word and somebody going to put you out of your position you know, because they don't like what you said. How you going to handle that? Amen. Despair. Despair and fear go hand in hand. How are you going to handle it? You also face the risk of being called a fool. Why is she following God? Why is she still trying to act like she going to hold on to God or he's going to hold on to God? Why is he still preaching? You know, you got to, and then you got to deal with the fact that there will be times where you got to face rejection. Everybody's not going to be enthused that you're in love with Jesus. Everybody's just not going to be all excited about it. So you got to remember, as you are dealing with the things that you are dealing with, as God is elevating you, you got to accept the challenge and you got to face the risk. Accept the challenge, face the risk. Because this is not going to be easy. And some of us on the line already know that it has not been easy. There have been times we want to pack up and leave and don't look back. There have been times we just want to say, forget it. I don't like you. Don't want to be bothered with you. Hallelujah. There are times, amen, where we might feel like, you know what I'm saying, I don't care about these folks that get on my nerves. I've been waiting to tell them off anyway, and this is the perfect opportunity right here. Accept the challenge. Face the risk. Don't worry about your reputation. God will make that right. God will make that right. The most important thing is your character. Character is what God says about you. Reputation is what people say. You want God to say good things about you. That's what matters to you. And I'm not telling you that getting involved with people is going to always work out right. There'll be times where you will pour out everything you have for other people. And they'll turn around and act like you ain't never did nothing for them. And treat you like you are dirt under their shoe. That's the risk that you have to take in order to obey God. There'll be times where you have to be able to be transparent and expose yourself. Where others, you know what I'm saying, they much rather hide out. Hide their gifts. You can't hide your gifts. Get the shovel and dig out that talent that's been buried underneath the ground. Get it out and begin to let God use you. Because the body of Christ needs what you have. So you don't have no time to be walking around fearful. You don't have any time, amen, to be walking around, amen, and not walking in the authority that God has given you. You don't have time to be questioning who you are. Amen. We were supposed to settle that in the first couple of chapters of our study. And at this stage of the game, you should know who you are, and you should be putting your shoes on. Amen, and walking, amen, closer to God so that you can fulfill the work that he has called you and saved you and brought you into righteousness to do. That is the most important thing. Accept the challenge. Face the risk. You can't face the risk running the opposite direction. You got to deal with whatever your issues are. If you're unstable, we're going to talk about some of that later on in our studies. If you got issues with authority, if you don't like people telling you what to do, if you are dealing with the spirit of fear, if you got a big mouth, hello. If you got a nasty attitude, if you got a shabby prayer life, whatever it is, accept the challenge. And face the risk. accept the challenge to have a stable prayer life. Accept the challenge to be stable as a believer, having a stable lifestyle, not hopping all over the place. That's a challenge, because our flesh wants to do what it wants to do, but God has another plan altogether, and we got to be willing to agree with his plan. Amen, somebody. We got to be willing to agree with God's plan. We got to agree with him. That's the only way that his will is going to come to pass in our life, is we got to line up with him, submit ourselves to God. And you ain't going to have no problem with the devil fleeing from you. You ain't going to have no problem casting the devil out. And a lot of times, you know, you got people, they think that they got power with God, you know, and power over the enemy, and they don't even have the relationship right. What spirit is that? It's deception. That's what it is. So you got to accept the challenge that's presented before you. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what the devil have said. I don't care, amen, what your auntie, what your mama, what your daddy, what anybody else has told you. God has given you your gifts and your talents, and he wants you to use them for his glory. He's expecting a return. Your gifts are supposed to go into the world, and through those gifts, people's lives are supposed to be transformed. People are supposed to be saved and delivered. People are supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. People are supposed to be taught and trained and nurtured in the things of God through the gifts that God has put in you. And God, just like it says in Romans 14, God is going to call every one of us into question. Or what we have done, or what we haven't done. And so I want to leave that thought with you, amen. And when we come back, Lord willing, amen, for our first class on January 3rd, Lord willing, hallelujah, 2008, we're going to start talking about character, and we're going to talk about the 10 M's of manhood and ministry. And that's going to be a good study, amen, because this is going to deal with every area of our life, amen, our personal life, because you cannot think that God is going to use you and your personal life is not lined up. Now, that does not mean that you got to have everything perfect and every bill has to be paid and you can't have no credit card debt and you can't have no, you know, let's be realistic. But what I'm saying about that with the lifestyle is that God, amen, wants us, amen, as much as we possibly can by the grace of God to live an exemplary life. And we can only do that by the grace of God, and we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in that next lesson, God, amen, will be able to deal with us about our motives, amen, about our marriage, about the methods we use, about our manners, about our money, about our ministry, about whether or not we really have attained manhood. When I say manhood, I ain't talking about gender. I'm talking about spiritually being, amen, a full-grown son, like the scripture says. Amen. And so we're going to deal with that. Amen. I'm going to pray. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this study. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving your people the strength, the grace, oh God, all that we need in order for us to accept every challenge that comes our way and to face every risk. Oh God, help us not to shrink back in the corner, God, and to run from, Lord God, risks and to run from challenges, but help us, oh God, to face them head on, because your word already tells us, Lord God, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know that it's not, Lord God, by our own strength, but it is by the power of your spirit that we are able to do anything. God, we want to be good stewards of what you have placed in us. God, the gifts and the talents, oh God, and the abilities, Lord God, the anointings that you have placed on our life. We want to be able, Lord God, that when we stand before you, that you are able to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so, God, help us, we pray. God, that you would cause us, oh God, to not take our talents and our gifts, oh God, and our anointings and hide them, oh God, and bury them under the ground, oh God, because of fear, because of intimidation, because of shame, oh God, because of the words of other people. Lord God, I decree for your people, oh God, a call. for, God, that they will begin to walk in everything that you have ordained for them. Lord God, I lose courage. I rebuke the spirit of fear, because your word says fear has torment, and you have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I thank you, Lord God, that none of us on this line tonight, or those that are going to be listening, oh God, after they download the messages, none of us, oh God, are double-minded. I curse the spirit of double-mindedness. God, I lose a singleness in our mind, that we would hear from you, that we would line up with your word, God, that we would not be hard between two opinions, God, but that in our whole spirit, soul, and body, we would line up with the will of God and submit ourselves to you so that you can accomplish the will of God through us. And God, we thank you right now, Lord, that these things are done for your glory. God, we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We thank you, Lord God, that you're giving us the strength, oh God, the power, the ability, and the authority to accomplish the tasks that you have called us to do in this hour. And we just honor you and magnify you for it right now, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me stop this recording.